gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the December NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to speak and provide comments. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require any assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Tim, could you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Good morning, Chairman. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger and the Times and Trent at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you, Tim. Manera, could you call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Terrence O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow.
Here.
Bill Elagia. Virginia Bauer.
Here.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Rafael Ferrara.
Here.
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Here.
Marcia Marley.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Aaron Cruz, representing the executive branch.
Here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Banking Commissioner Justin Zimmerman. Commissioner Justin Zimmerman.
Present.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Robert Angelo. Elizabeth Dragon for DEP Commissioner Sean Lasseret. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manera. We have one set of minutes to approve, the November 18, 2024 regular board meeting minutes have been circulated to the board ahead of time. Just want to remind board members, when you make a motion or a second, please state your name for the record. Could I hear a motion to approve the November 18th board meeting minutes, please?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Fred, a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Philip Elijah has joined the call.
Great, Phil. Thank you.
That's a big book for the minutes, Phil.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing on the minutes are approved. I'll give you some brief chairman's remarks this morning. We have a lot to cover today. Welcome to the NJEDA's December board meeting. This is our last board meeting of the year. I want to thank the EDA staff, all the board members, and especially our public board members for a very productive year. In 2018, Governor Phil Murphy reinstated the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program with a vision to bolster New Jersey's standing as a national leader in film and television production. Over the past 6 years, in-state production spending has broken records, generating over $2.5 billion in economic activity, creating thousands of high-paying jobs, and attracting world-class production studios to the Garden State. Today, the board will be asked to consider the approval of an Aspire Tax Credit Award for the transformative Netflix studio project in Monmouth County. The studio, which will redevelop a nearly 300-acre parcel on the former Fort Monmouth campus, will be Netflix's flagship production facility on the East Coast, featuring 12 sound stages and production support facilities. The studio will create economic opportunities for small businesses and residents of Monmouth County and across the state, encourage more production spending statewide, and continue New Jersey's momentum as a hub of media production. Earlier this year, the NJEDA board designated Netflix a studio partner, which unlocked expanded benefits under the Film and Digital Tax Media Credit Program. Under the agreement, Netflix committed to remain in New Jersey for at least 10 years, establishing a long-lasting beneficial partnership between the renowned production studio and the birthplace of film. The Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program and Aspire Program are attracting the type of major transformative projects that Governor Murphy had envisioned when he signed them into law. In June, this board approved a tax credit award under the Aspire Program to 1888 Studios in Bayonne. 1888 Studios, a film lease partner facility, will be the largest and first campus-style film and television studio in the Northeast. And in 2022, the NJEDA named Lionsgate Films as a studio partner under the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program. These substantial investments by production studios in the state, complemented with New Jersey's incentive programs, wealth of local talent, and diverse filming locations will expand the economic benefits created by the robust film and television industry. As more production and studios choose New Jersey, it will help bolster the state and local economies, revitalize communities, create jobs, and expand opportunities for small businesses, all while showcasing the beauty and versatility of the Garden State. Now, one special item before we go forward, I'd like to recognize Virginia Bauer, as today is her final board meeting. Ginny has served on the board since 2019 and has helped guide our organization through a period of tremendous growth. I've had the pleasure of knowing Ginny for a long time. Both of us served together on the 9/11 Memorial and Museum Board of Directors, and she's had a lifetime of service to the state of New Jersey. So we're going to hear more in a minute, but personally I'd like to thank Ginny for her service to the NJEDA and to the people of New Jersey.
Thank you.
And now, let me turn it over to Tim.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. We have a ton to get through. This is pound for pound, probably the densest agenda I can remember. I will be very brief. You have my written CEO report in your pack. You have our monthly board dashboard in your pack as well, loaded with information. Happy to answer any questions about those. I want to just cover a few quick topics. One was that we talked about this via email last week, and it was in the newspaper, but made a really important internal organizational announcement last week, which is naming Mary Maples to be deputy CEO of this fine organization. Mary is a person whose reputation speaks for itself, but an extraordinary partner, leader, executive, thinker, problem solver with a great track record in lots of organizations, including one of the very first times I met her in person was sitting in Aaron's virtual chair, I suppose, at my very first board meeting in February of 2018. So she has a long and distinguished track record in state in her prior roles as well, and couldn't be happier, more excited to have her at the helm of the ship with me as we turn the calendar into 2025. So please join me in congratulating Mary. On the other side of the coin of transition things that are happy news, bittersweet, I'll pick up on the chairman's comments. I remember when Governor Murphy stood out in that very vestibule and named you and Marcia and Aisha and Rosemary to our board in late 2019. It was a time of extraordinary tumult and challenge for this organization, and from the very first minute, all four of you have been an extraordinary asset to this organization, and Ginny in particular, I just want to thank you for your partnership, your leadership, your advice, your counsel, your unfailing good cheer, even when things were tough, and things got tough. What was going on already was tough, and then COVID and lots of other things we had to do, and so your advice and wisdom and good charm was existential to me as a person and to our organization. So on behalf of the entire EDA family, I just want to thank you for your service and wish you nothing but the best, and we hope you're not a stranger, and maybe you never know, you can be on the board again someday. You've done it a few times. I have the great privilege of reading a very nicely framed by Emma letter from two really important people who wanted to send their best wishes as well. I will read it to you. Dear Ginny, it is with great respect and appreciation that we extend our sincere congratulations to you as you retire from the EDA board and end a storied career in public service. Throughout your years working for the state of New Jersey, you have honorably served the people of the Garden State in numerous roles, including Director of the New Jersey Lottery, Commerce Secretary, Board Member of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and since 2020, Board Member of the EDA. In each position, you established a level of professionalism that has earned you a reputation for outstanding leadership and impact. Your dedication and integrity will forever be remembered by all who have had the pleasure of working alongside you. Thanks to your mentorship of many and influence on policy and programming, New Jersey will continue to be a much stronger and fairer state for years to come. On behalf of the state of New Jersey, we applaud you for your generous dedication over the years. Now, as you end this chapter and transition to lending your incredible expertise to other endeavors, take pride in knowing that you have made a tremendous impact on the entire Garden State. Throughout your years of service, you've earned the respect and admiration of colleagues, family, and friends. As a point of personal privilege, we are very grateful to have benefited from your counsel to count you as one of our dearest friends. Congratulations again, and best wishes for lasting health and happiness. Philip D. Murphy, Governor. Tammy S. Murphy, First Lady.
Thank you. I didn't expect this. Thank you. I'm going to cry. Oh, my God. So mushy as I get older. And I'm getting older. I just want to say, I was here because the governor asked me to be here, but I stayed because of all of you, and I mean that. I, as you know,
I had some experience and history with EDA, and I always had such affection for this agency. They helped me as Commerce Secretary. Karen and I worked hand in hand, and all I can say is better than ever. You guys are fabulous, and I tell everyone I know how great they are, especially this guy. So continue your good work, and I hope I'll always be part of the family. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
By wishing, noting it is the end of the year, it is the holiday season. On behalf of the EDA staff, I want to thank our board for your unfailing support, particularly our chairman, and wish everyone a happy holiday season, a safe and healthy new year, and we'll be back in January with lots more to do and lots more projects to consider, and but hopefully we'll get a little bit of a pause in between now and then. And we will deserve a pause after what will be a robust next hour and 52 minutes while we go through a pretty big agenda. So with that, Mr. Chairman,
great.
Yield the floor back to you.
Thank you, Tim. I'm going to now enter the public comment section of the meeting. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I will ask Daniel Esser to share the NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated in NJEDA's public comment policy, members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by phone. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment can press star, then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker will should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired, and a person may provide comment once during the public comment period to ensure there's enough time available for all those who wish to speak. The chair will acknowledge folks in the room first and then by phone. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. I'd now like to acknowledge any members of the public in the room who wish to provide comments at this time. Please.
Distinguished, the honorable, an honorable member of the public.
Thank you, Chair and Senator Vince Palestina, District 2, Atlantic County. I am just here to say thank you in advance of your agenda items. We have gone through a process with your staff and the Murphy administration, which was launched in June of 2022, to really try to build out our campus related to aviation surrounding the FAA facility and the Atlantic City International Airport. It's been a long and winding road, but we are, I think, at the point now where EDA has made an equity investment into the second building in the campus, and you're doing the Aviation Innovation Zone, which is, of course, critical to the future of our aviation industry in Atlantic County. So I just am here to thank the Murphy administration, thank all of the board members, thank certainly Tim and Kathleen and Rom and all the other staff that we worked through at the EDA. I know I heard Mary Maples is here, is also a Stockton board member, of course. We are building partnerships in Atlantic County with the EDA, with others, to really build out the aviation industry, which is, you know, in their news in the last week due to the all the drones and everything going on. So I thought I could come here and find out what's going on with the drones. So I just want to say thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We are on now to the next step because everybody tells me one of the critical pieces as we try to build out aviation or engineering, or we're talking a lot about medical, is the need for education. And so we've already started talking with your staff about some educational opportunities we're hoping to bring to Atlantic County, and are really just looking forward to working with all of you to try to bring about some diversity in the economy in Atlantic County and more opportunities. So, again, just thank you. Great to be here. And I have to run to other stuff, but just wanted to say thank you to all of you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator.
Happy holidays.
I do want to note, I don't think we're all going to talk. Lauren Moore, the president of the Atlantic County Economic Alliance, is here. Michael Viscount, who is the chair of the Atlantic County Economic Alliance, is here. My chief of staff, Joe Berg. So we do have representatives from the alliance here. I'm going to run, but again, thank you.
Make sure we both run.
They're going to make sure we're
all right. Anyone else in the room for public comment? Good morning. Jason Torres, longtime resident of Jersey City, and I've got a lot of family in Monmouth County and Middletown, and so have a
venture capital firm, Sana Capital, will be up on the agenda for later today. And just wanted to really express my support for the program and what it does for the state of New Jersey for economic development. And we invest in healthcare access, outcomes, costs, and we're really excited to be considered for partnership with the New Jersey EDA. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else in the room? Okay, seeing none, operator, could we go to the anyone on the phone who wishes to speak?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have questions, you may use star then one. One moment for our first question or comment comes from Jacob Koppel-Eggert. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jacob Koppel-Eggert from Monroe Township, an entrepreneur and New Jersey Innovation Fellows 2024 cohort applicant. I'm not in Trenton, but thank you to all those present, especially those who made it in person, especially those involved with this grant. I think that's Michelle Martinez, the Diversity Board of Finance members, and the Innovation Office staff. The business endeavor I'm working on, I'm going to get into in a little bit, but it is the product of years of hard work by so many people of so many unique backgrounds, spanning New Jersey's great research institutions and other organizations across the state. Please bear with me for 1 second because I want to talk about something boring, which is the documented application timeline. Schedule shows a 120-day application period followed by a 30-day registration and grant agreement phase. 90 days into this 120-day period, applications close. Then there's a board of recommendation and approval process that should end 30 days later. This would have been August 15th. So all that's to say is 30 days is now 150. And I think I should probably talk about this grant a little bit. I realize that not everyone might be familiar with it and why it seems to be so important, but it's seems to be a really great opportunity for sort of fledgling technology startups to get a chance in the New Jersey ecosystem. And I really like it. I'm a huge fan of it, but I'm going to continue with my gripe. So I don't want to point fingers about not getting things done on time too much. I've worked for the state a few times. I've been really surprised at how much is expected of us, given what we've had to work with. So I don't want to, you know, complain too much. But we've had some issues with the lack of communication. 40 teams applied to this grant. So I think at $250 of an application, that's $10,000. And we're really hoping to just get a timeline of when we'll hear back. And what we were given eventually was the end of quarter four, and that brings us to today. And so applicants like me have risked a little bit of money. We can lose $250, but what we can't lose is access to other opportunities, and that's what I really want to talk about. So one of the main stipulations of the New Jersey Innovation Fellows Grant is that already formed businesses cannot apply. And so this makes it impossible for us to apply to other funding sources. So we can't speak to investors until we have formal business documents. I cannot apply to federal or state grants because I don't have a SAM. So at a recent conference at Princeton University, I met a grant administrator who said that we'd be a pretty good fit, but we can't apply unless we have a SAM. I have a collaborator at Rutgers University who is helping us apply for an NSF, National Science Foundation, SBIR grant that was due in January. We can't apply for that. That's a significant amount of money lost. So,
We're running out of time. So if you could wrap up your comments, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I just want to say that this grant is a really good idea. We think it's fantastic, but with the stipulations that it imposes on us and other potential entrepreneurs, it makes it really, really hard to get off the ground. And I think it's actually stifling innovation instead of enabling it. And that's my case. I hope I didn't torpedo my chance at it as the applications are still ongoing, but I hope that maybe by speaking up, I can make things a little bit better for future cohorts and applicants. So thank you for your time. sorry for the negativity. And
okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to follow. It's Sam. We're happy to have our team that's working on that program follow up with you and make sure we have a crisp understanding of the timeline. You know, with public money comes lots of obligations, arguably too many, but nature of the exercise. So appreciate your comments, and we're happy to follow up with you.
Yep. Thanks.
Next, we'll go to Kyle Sullender from Focus New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Again, this is Kyle Sullender. I'm the executive director of Focus New Jersey. We are a nonpartisan, research-based nonprofit here in the state focused on the betterment of the state's higher education, workforce development, and general economic ecosystem. I just wanted to take a quick second to thank the board and members of the NJADA staff for working with us to establish the grant agreement that appears later on this morning's agenda, which will enable Focus New Jersey to conduct a study on the impact of remote work in New Jersey, especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and the effect that it had on remote working arrangements. I'm sure that I don't have to tell folks on this call this morning how important this issue is to the business community, as well as downtowns, local governments, and many other stakeholders who are trying to understand exactly how this is going to impact our state's economy moving forward, and where both the challenges and opportunities presented by this are with regards to interstate migration, commuter flows, and taxation. So once again, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you all for considering it and having the grant on this morning's agenda. We really look forward to getting started on this work in 2025. So thank you all again.
Thank you, Kyle.
Next, we'll go to the line of Marcos Gonzalez from Vamos Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Marcos Gonzalez. I am the managing partner of Vamos Ventures. We're an early-stage venture capital fund. We're going to be on the agenda later today, and I wanted to call in this morning number one, thank you all for the consideration and the trust and approval. We're current investors in the state of New Jersey, and we look forward to collaborating with you to further support the development of New Jersey's innovation and startup ecosystem. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
If there are any other questions, please press star then one at this time. And I am showing no other questions. You may proceed.
All right, great. Thank you very much, operator. We're now going to move forward. I'm going to give a quick, as we do at each of these board meetings, report on the activity of committees that met between board meetings. On December 2nd, the audit committee met. It's provided with the usual updates, including financial updates and reports, and specifically discussed the 2025 fiscal plan, which will be presented later today. On December 6th, the policy committee met. I considered a number of items which will all be presented for action today. So I'm not going to go through listing the items as we will discuss all of them. So moving on to our first voting item on the agenda under economic security, Rusha on the Food Equity and Economic Development in New Jersey or Feed NJ pilot program.
Good morning, everyone. I know I have 1 minute or less to say, so I'm going to go for this. Members are requested to approve creation of Food Equity and Economic Development pilot program, which will be known as FEED NJ pilot program. This will make grants available for projects to strengthen food access and food security in New Jersey's most acute food desert communities. Members are also requested to allow us to utilize up to $30 million in proceeds from the Food Desert Relief Tax Credit auction to initially fund this program and then provide delegated authority to the Chief Executive Officer to accept up to $5 million in additional funds or any unused or unspent funds from previously approved food security programs and additional proceeds from 2024 tax credit auction to support this program. And charging no fees for Feed NJ pilot program due to the nature of this program and the mission of the potential applicant pool. The establishment of Feed NJ pilot program will focus on 14 of the top 15 New Jersey's FDCs. These 14 food desert communities are spread across eight counties, comprised of 11 municipalities, and home to over 550,000 New Jerseyans. The composite food desert factor score, or how needy these communities are, is 63.9 and above, so this indicates the significant need of an investment from us to address the challenges. Feed NJ program will allow us to fund projects that can help improve access to food, support ongoing initiatives, and also fund some new ideas that have the potential of improving addressing challenges around food security. Eligible applicant pool includes nonprofits and for-profits who've been in business for at least 2 years and can provide access to improved services. Grants can be minimum of $50,000, maximum of $500,000. This is a competitively scored program. We will require applicants to score at least 70 points out of the 100 maximum, and following scoring, applicants will be presented to the board for funding approval. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, it was not AI generated, it was human brain. So I'm very proud of the team for coming up with.
And I just want to remind all of our board members that as we go through each of these programs, the slides give us a summary of.
Just one quick update. Atlantic City and Bettner FDCs are not included in this program because they have their own standing food security program.
That's why it's only 14 of the 15.
Yes.
Chair, may I just mention, I love this program. I think there's nothing more important than making sure people in this country, and especially in this great state, have access to food and, you know, shouldn't be hungry. So
I
totally support this.
Any questions, comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
So moved, Angela.
Thanks, Rob. Second?
I always did.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Greetings, Chairman. I'm sorry to interrupt the meeting. I'm going to recuse myself via phone. I believe the Food Desert Pilot Program has selected the city of Trenton as one of the potential cities for their launch. So as a city employee, I'm going to recuse myself from this vote.
Great. And that's just for the record, that's Massiel, right? Correct.
Yes. I'm sorry. Massiel Mazzini-Ferrara. Thank you.
Any other discussions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Good luck.
Thank you.
Charles, Real Estate Committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NJEDA Real Estate Committee met on December 16th to review and consider a number of matters for particular that are being will be presented by staff to the full board for consideration and a vote. The four items are to enter into a purchase and sale agreement with the Trenton Board of Education with regard to the purchase of the Battle Monument site to construct a maternal and infant health innovation authority. Second matter is a grant agreement with Rutgers University for activities related to the development of an academic health center on campus in Newark. Third matter, a grant agreement to Showboat Properties LLC under the Atlantic City Revitalization Grant Program. And lastly, a request to update and reopen the Atlantic City Revitalization Grant Program. Before I turn it over to staff to present these items, I just want to put on the record that I'd like to recuse myself on the grant agreement with Rutgers University to avoid any potential conflicts and any future opportunities that my firm may have in this project.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Okay, Brian, I think you're going to present the first two items.
Brian was here. I'll be right. Brian, go.
We are here today for an exciting opportunity for the EDA. The EDA, we're asking you today to approve the purchase of property on the corner of Warren and Pennington Avenue for $2.5 million for the future home of the Maternal Infant Health Center. We searched for property for almost 2 years to identify the site. It was not listed for sale. It is owned by the Board of Education. To negotiate the purchase of the price, we had to agree to pay off, not pay off, reimburse.
Satisfy.
The School Development Authority, who had spent $2.5 million cleaning up the site, clearing the site, maintaining the site, owning the site, paying for the insurance for the site for an extended period of time. So the purchase price is $2.5 million, which is in excess of the appraised value, which is just under $1 million, but it was not for sale. We're buying it, we're reimbursing the SDA, so the Board of Education will actually get $1 for the site, and then the remainder of the funds will go to the SDA. Once we own this, its due diligence has been completed, standard. There's nothing of surprise there, and we hope to close in the early part of the new year.
And to be back here for a construction budget approval sometime around the first quarter-ish as well, and get rocking and rolling and building this extraordinary center.
Is it vacant? Is it a vacant piece of land?
It's a vacant piece of land, yep. In a prime spot.
Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Second, Chairman. I'm sorry, this is Maciel Medina for, once again, I'm going to recuse myself with the sale and anything related to the maternal health, because Trenton is participating in the sale, as well as this application is going to be appearing in front of the city's planning board, which is overseen by my department.
Understood.
Thank you.
Did we hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Other recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved.
The record show with Maciel's many abstentions. How much we're doing in the city of Trenton?
And how much Maciel is doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next on the agreement with Rutgers.
Yep, so this is another exciting project. So we are seeking approval for a $42 million grant to Rutgers University using American Rescue Plan funds. The funds will be used to pay for pre-development costs associated with the university hospital expansion site. Rutgers will be taking the lead on that development. We are also seeking, this is the second approval, so back in April, the board approved a $7 million pre-development agreement whereby EDA could use up to $7 million for the same project for the same purposes. We're asking that if there's any unused monies from that $7 million, that money also be granted to Rutgers for the pre-development expenses. Monies must be expensed by the December 2026. Rutgers is already in the procurement process, and we don't expect there to be any delays on the expense of those funds. That's it. Any questions, comments? Anyone on the phone? No questions or comments? Okay, could I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Second?
Robert Schenkel.
Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Sorry, recusal.
Your refusal, okay. Okay, the motion passes. Thank you, Brian. Christina.
I have to use the on deck circle.
It makes me nervous.
Trust me, it makes me 100% wrong.
Good morning.
Okay, so this action item, just a refresher for the Atlantic City Revitalization Grant Program, is supporting capital improvement projects, hard and soft construction costs. We were allocated $19.65 million back in last December's award. We have $2.9 million after this award that we're presenting today. Next slide, please. So the project is for Shobo Properties, LLC. This will be about $8.4 million. We're going to support 50% of that with a grant for $4.2 million, and it's so they can allow the third and final phase of their expansion of the old gaming floor for the old Shobo property. So this is essentially revitalizing this whole casino into a family attraction. They've already done the initial two phases of that, and then the water park, and now this is the third phase of that. This will allow a party room. They're going to convert, install a bowling alley and also convert additional space for food and beverage, but make it more kids-friendly as well, too. Next slide. So you can see it's improving. This is the facade of what it looks like now. It still has the old box office, so all this is going to be improved so it has a nice entryway and it doesn't look so confusing for when the guests walk in. Next slide. This is the mini golf that will be relocated, but that's where the bowling alley is going. The old gourmet restaurants are still there, and that's all going to get converted as well, too. And then the next slide is the actual floor plan. So as you can see, old casino, very big gaming floor that's now family-friendly uses. So the action item will approve that grant for Shobo Properties LLC.
Any questions?
We don't get any water park for privileges out of this going in. I'm right down the slide. Nothing on tours. Shame.
Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Angelo.
Thanks, Rob. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. Next, the revitalization grant for the...
So this will take the remaining balance that we have left over because we did have one withdrawal, and then we also came to board and asked for permission to roll over the balance from any withdrawals from the Activation Revitalization Transformation Program. So we had a slight balance of that $682,687 that's rolling over, and plus we also have a new appropriation of $1 million as well, too. So this will allow us to reopen the application to accept more to the public and utilize these funds. There was some edits made to the program, as you see in the memo. It's to memorialize the fact that because it's federal funding, it has to move faster. So now applicants have to come with the other 50% of funding at time of application. They also were not allowing new construction because there won't be enough time for that. So this will be just for straight renovation. So
it's $3.9 million of available funding?
As of now, yes, correct. If there are future withdrawals, which I can't predict right now, it will allow us to roll that in to fulfill the need if there's need here in these applications.
Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Motion.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you. I just remind everyone that the board meeting last month was in Atlantic City, and we got to see the work of EDA all around the city. It was quite impressive. Next, Tim, on the Strategic Innovation Center investment in Atlantic County.
Sitting right in front of
you. He was.
Good job. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with everybody today. That's staff's recommendation for an investment of $8.6 million to form the Strategic Innovation Center of the Atlantic County NJ Aerospace LLC, a newly formed limited liability company to be managed by our equity co-investor and the developer on the project. The Atlantic County Improvement Authority, located in Egg Harbor Township. Approval of the request authorizes the CEO to execute all documents required, and approval of a 4.5% administrative fee to EDA plus associated legal expenses provided through the Economic Recovery Fund statute. The proposed aerospace SIC will be an approximately 40,000 square foot, two-story facility dedicated towards development in aviation and aerospace at the National Aerospace Research and Technology Park. This is the second building contemplated in NARTP's development plan. The building will sit on land owned by the FAA, adjacent to the Atlantic City International Airport, and the FAA's William J. Hughes Technical Center, which is an amazing asset in the state and worth a road trip, I think. As context, Building 1 is already operational. It's a 66,000 square foot facility that was completed in 2019 and was fully occupied within 6 months. The additional space proposed by the aerospace SIC will cater to emerging sectors within aviation, considers unmanned air systems, advanced air mobility, airfield automation, and smart airfield technologies. The SIC is intended to address the need for research-related facilities and infrastructure providing lab space for companies doing classified work, much of it for the government, placing them closer to their customers, their suppliers, and support experts. Ultimately, this creates a dedicated aviation cluster in the state. The SIC will enter into a program agreement with NARTP to design and staff the Innovation Center's aerospace innovation hubs. The innovation program will include academic cooperation agreement with partners like Rowan University, Rutgers School of Engineering, Stockton University, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical School, and the National Institute of Aerospace. All of these institutions will provide various support to the companies on research projects, student interns, and the like. At this stage of the project, the aerospace SIC is shovel-ready and will proceed to construction pending EDA's funding and slated for completion in Q2 2026. So I'll reiterate the request to the board for an investment of up to $8.6 million, as well as authorization to the CEO to execute all required documentation and approval of the 4.5% administrative fee plus legal expenses. So thank you for your time and welcome to the
Any questions?
The only question, will this help assist any of the other airports, like, you know, in Newark or any of the Port Authority airports? I mean, the work, I understand it's an innovation center, but, you know, is there any, will there be any alliance?
Think about the companies moving into this, or emerging technology companies. So they'll be building the resources and the products for, God, that's distracting the question. They'll be building the resources and products that these airports are going to use ultimately.
Yeah, so there will be some.
Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
Good luck, guys. Don't mess it up.
I do think we need a road trip.
Absolutely.
I think this is a good road trip.
We'll fly it.
Yeah. All right, next on Venture, Michelle, on the request for program updates to the NJ Innovation Fellows program.
Good morning, and we're pleased to present this exciting initiative through the New Jersey Innovation Fellows Program. This unique program provides entrepreneurs with support and funding to bring innovative ideas to life. Through the fiscal year 25 budget appropriations, the Fellows Program will facilitate the creation of new businesses in the field of artificial intelligence. Just as background and context, in November 2022, the NJEDA approved a $10 million appropriation to establish the cohort under the NJIF program. We are currently supporting one cohort of 10 dynamic teams, we are thrilled to announce that the recommendations for the second cohort are expected to be presented at the February 2025 board meeting. With the fiscal year 25 appropriation of an additional $2 million, we are launching the AI-focused mentorship program, expected to begin in June 2025. The additional cohort will support first-time entrepreneurs seeking to develop technologies that either improve efficiency or create novel products or services utilizing AI technologies such as machine learning, autonomous decision-making, data-driven insights, natural language processing, computer vision, and generative AI. Applicants will be evaluated using an existing New Jersey Innovation Fellows rubric with an additional AI-specific rubric that will look at the quality of the AI innovation, as well as the feasibility, implementation, and its code of conduct. In line with the Senate bill, the AI cohort will leverage Princeton University's expertise to provide tailored one-on-one mentorship, workshops, training, and networking opportunities. By fostering innovation and providing entrepreneurs with the tools and guidance they need, we are not only empowering individual ventures, but also contributing to the broader growth and competitiveness of the New Jersey economy. With that, I am under 2 minutes, and I will go ahead and take your questions at this time.
That's where I'll use a little bit of your time. The partnership that we're in the process of structuring with Princeton Brother and AI is a game changer, we think, for the state. This is a part of it, an incredibly important part of it. It's also a really important part and parcel of the inclusive growth strategy tied into the AI strategy, because if you look at our first cohort of Innovation Fellows, it's overwhelmingly women, people of color, people from all throughout the state, as we're trying to build a more diverse and inclusive innovation ecosystem. Doing that, as we layer that into AI, it's a big deal.
Very cool.
Agreed. It's exciting to actually have now people implementing the AI strategy.
Absolutely, yes.
And then they'll be replaced by
it. In charge of the robots. The robots are good robots.
Any other comments, questions? Anyone on the board, on the phone, comments or questions? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second. Fred Dumas, second.
We'll leave that one to Fred, has it? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Good luck. Lexi, on the New Jersey State Small Business Credit Initiative Life Science and Healthcare Fund Manager Approvals.
Hey, good morning and happy holidays.
Good morning.
Thank you. The venture team is recommending the selection of three life science healthcare fund managers for the SSBCI program, that State Small Business Credit Initiative for federal funds. This allocation commits up to $22.5 million of a total of $60 million for this program. In addition, members are asked to delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the authority to finalize fees and expenses with each manager based on the parameters contained in your board memo. The three fund managers and allocation amounts recommended for approval are Acuity LLC, a venture growth fund manager with a $12.5 million allocation. Acuity is also a manager in our Evergreen Fund program. Activate Management LLC, it's an early stage venture fund with $7.5 million allocation. NJEDA committed up to $800,000 to Activate through our venture investment program. And RV3 LLC, which is also known as Rittenhouse Ventures, with up to $2.5 million allocation. Rittenhouse Ventures is also a partner for our Evergreen program. Seven managers applied to this round of the Life Science Healthcare Notice of Investment Opportunity. We recommended the three listed candidates because they scored above the average score of 31. Of the other four candidates, two candidates scored below the average and two applicants withdrew their applications. Just to reiterate, the members are asked to approve Acuity LLC up to a $12.5 million SSBCI allocation, Activate Management LLC up to a $7.5 million allocation, and Rittenhouse Ventures with up to a $2.5 million allocation. Members are also asked to delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the authority to finalize fees and expenses with each manager based on the parameters contained in the memorandum. This concludes my prepared remarks, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
One just note I'll add on. First of all, great job, Lexi. Thank you. This is federal money. This is under the SSBCI federal program. As you may have read about in the newspaper, there's likely to be some policy changes in Washington. We will load these documents up with provisos that we want to do this. We're all good, but if the Fed's changed the rules of the game, this is all subject to those changing. Hopefully they don't. You know, it's not up to me. Certainly we're doing our best to ensure ourselves against any adverse federal policy or funding. This is less policy, this is more funding if Congress backing some money back up. Right? Not much we can do about it.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions or comments in the room, on the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Emmanuel, on the SSBCI Socially and Economically Disadvantaged Individuals Manager Approval.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, board members and staff. This month, staff has recommended five allocations of up to $50 million in aggregate from the state Small Business Credit Initiative, Socially and Economically Disadvantaged Individuals Seed Fund, or STEDI Seed Fund. Sources of these funds, as the CEO has mentioned, comes from the SSBCF Federal Treasury Program with allocation of $20 million. The 2024 SSBCS Steady Seed Fund allocation process saw responses from nine unique respondents to the authority's notice, which was published on September 3rd. Subsequent investment vehicle by our NIO will be structured as a sidecar to the manager's main fund, but a commingled fund structure is allowable if the manager is raising a New Jersey-only fund. With these points noted, staff recommendations are up to $5 million each to fund managers Biomode Venture Partners, GP LLC, Harlem Capital Partners Management Company LLC. Up to $3 million to fund managers Santa Capital Management LLC, and up to $1 million each to fund managers Impressionism Capital, Doing Business as Symphonic Capital, and Sarai Venture LLC for an aggregate of up to $15 million. A little bit about the fund managers. Vamos Ventures is a multi-vintage venture capital manager accelerating the wellness, the next generation of Latinx and diverse founders through investments in health and wellness, future of work, fintech, and sustainability sectors. Harlem Capital Partners Management Company is an industry-agnostic venture capital firm striving to change the face of entrepreneurship with its mission to invest in 1,000 diverse founders in over 20-year period. Santa Capital Management LLC is a healthcare venture capital firm focused on understanding and leveraging healthcare policy tailwinds to drive impactful investments in non-FDA regulated sectors. Impressionism Capital, or Defining Capital, is a newly established firm founded by an experienced investment partner and a multi-exit operating partner. This fund is raising a $50 million pre-seed fund that invests in companies closing access gaps around health and wellness for overlooked communities. Serac Venture Partners LLC is an early-stage venture capital firm focused exclusively on underrepresented founders. While relatively new, the firm has quickly built a reputation for backing innovative founders and is actively raising its initial inaugural fund. With these, staff iterate the request to the board for allocations from the state's SSPCS SETI seed fund for commitments of up to $5 million each to Bahamas Ventures GP and Harlem Capital, up to $3 million to fund manager Santa Capital Management, and up to $1 million to Impressionism Capital, Little Business of Final Capital, and Serac Venture Capital Partners. Thank you for your attention, and we appreciate any consideration or questions.
Thanks, Manuel. Also, great job. Incorporate by reference everything I said about the last item into this, as well as also federal SEPCI money, which we will wrap with all time. If somebody else breaks it, it's not our fault.
Yeah. Same pool of capital.
Excuse me?
Same pool of capital.
Same pool of capital. That just means the same federal program. This one, yeah.
Anyone in the room, questions or comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Second?
Joy.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? So hearing none, the motion passed. Good luck. Okay, next we're going to move on to the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund, a follow-on investment approval. I am going to recuse from this given my personal financial investment in a related fund. And to that end, I'm asking Ginny to please lead the board through the next vote.
Happy to do that. Thank you, Alexander.
Good morning. I'm pleased to present a recommendation for a follow-on investment through the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund program. The program currently has $33.5 million of unallocated capital available to invest in New Jersey innovative high-growth companies. The board granted delegated authority to the EDA's CEO to approve program follow-on investments on April 13, 2022, with certain exceptions which do require board approval. These exceptions include requests for multiple follow-on investments in a 12-month period per qualified venture firm to invest in a given business, which is applicable to today's recommendation. The program follow-on investment recommended for funding is an application by the qualified venture firm Emerging Fund Management for a $500,000 investment into the Series A3 preferred stock financing round of One Huddle Inc., an innovative, high-growth, future-of-work enterprise software company based in Newark. Staff will reserve an additional $90,000 for related management fees and an additional $1.5 million for future follow-on investments into the business. The authority invested $500,000 into One Huddle alongside the emerging fund following board approval for a program investment on October 12, 2023, and an additional $500,000 through a first follow-on investment approved under delegated authority on April 24, 2024. The latest follow-on investment will follow a third investment of another $500,000 made by the Emerging Fund in June. As a reminder, the Emerging Fund is a Chicago-based growth equity firm focusing on the intersection between technology and the restaurant and hospitality sectors and is investing out of a $62 million first fund. One Huddle is a Newark-based enterprise software as a service platform that enables companies to convert static workforce training materials into dynamic, quick-burst mobile games to educate, elevate, and energize company employees. One Huddle anticipates using this capital for future expenses, especially to expand its New Jersey-based sales and marketing and customer service teams, which are expected to grow by 5 employees in the first quarter of 2025. I will conclude my remarks by reiterating our recommendation for approval of the proposed investment. Thank you for your consideration, and I'll take any questions at this time.
Thank you, Alexander. Any comments, questions for Alexander or on the phone? If not, may I have a motion, please? Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, please
aye.
Say aye.
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 Recuse or exceptions other than Terry. Okay, motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginny. We're going to move to Incentives Committee.
I forgot we were doing the SSBCI things to give a shout out to Liz and her team at Treasury, who are extraordinary partners in everything we do with regard to SSBCI. So, Madam Treasurer, thank you, as always, for being great.
Ginny, you want to give a quick Incentives Committee report?
Sure, be happy to. Incentives Committee met on December 5th, and the staff presented three recommendations for Aspire projects located in Camden, Monmouth, and Mercer County. The staff also presented a request to approve a digital media tax credit program. And lastly, to request a modification of a mixed-use parking program in the city of Patterson. Thank you.
All right, so the first two items I think are going to be presented by Annie. First up is the Parkside Camden Urban Renewal LLC application.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here today. I think it's a record-breaking day for Aspire. We have three projects for your consideration today. Awesome projects. So we are seeking approval to award roughly $17.7 million in Aspire tax credit to a mixed-use project that is comprised of fully affordable residential units and commercial space that will include a federally qualified health center, retail space, an office space in the Parkside neighborhood of Camden. The applicant is proposing the ground-up construction of the first Parkside Place 1 will house 24 units of residential development and commercial space that will include the federally qualified health center. And the second, Park Place 2, will house six residential units of affordable housing above ground floor retail and office space with parking located behind the building. There will be a total of 30 fully affordable units, of which four will be designated for residents receiving Medicare as part of DCA's Healthy Homes Initiative. The unit mix includes six studio and one-bedroom units, 18 two-bedroom units, and six three-bedroom units. The applicant, Parkside Camden Urban Renewal, is a single-purpose entity, and the ownership is comprised of three entities that include Parkside Business and Community and Partnership, Inc., also the lead development entity, which is a local nonprofit organization that focuses on affordable housing, community development in Camden. Also, the co-applicant, Premier Solutions, a nonprofit that focuses on mission-driven real estate development, and Cornerstone Community Partners, Inc. The applicant introduced an affiliate, Parkside Commercial LLC, to the project for the purposes of site control, to incur project costs related to the commercial component of the project. Total development costs are about $35.9 million, and to help size the award, we excluded costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules, including land costs funded with state appropriations. This brings the total eligible project cost to about $29.5 million. The required developer equity contribution of 20% is equal to $7 million, and in this case, they are contributing $14 million, exceeding the minimum requirement. We subject the applicant's request to the program's award caps, and since this project is located in a qualified incentive track, it's eligible to receive up to 60% of total eligible costs, or $90 million, whichever is less, and that is how we calculated the award of $17.7 million. The project is also receiving low-income housing tax credits, so we use the deferred D model, which was used to measure the appropriate and reasonable rate of receipt, all of which conforms to the agency's policies. I'm happy to take any questions.
This is our first ground-up Camden. We've had a couple of rehabs, yeah? One rehab?
Yes.
The first ground-up new construction in Camden?
That's great.
Good. I think it's great.
Any comments, questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? So hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Robert Shimka.
Thanks, Robert. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
One recusal here.
The dual of recusing.
Oh, yeah. Potential conflict.
Noted. Okay. Hearing no others, the motion passes.
He's just getting warmed up, though.
Okay, so next on the list, we're seeking approval for an award of roughly $387 million in inspired tax credits for Netflix, Inc. That will include the new construction of a transformative film project known as Netflix Studio Fort Monmouth. The project will be a transformative film studio campus of over 1.1 million square feet, located on a 292-acre parcel at Fort Monmouth, a former Army Reserve Base installation of the Department of the Army in Monmouth County, within the boroughs of Eatontown and Oceanport. The plan includes the new construction of 12 sound stages and four mill buildings that will be used as workshops for the creation of production sets, production support spaces, office buildings, storage areas, a vendor village, a visitor center, surface parking, warehouses, and other associated facility improvements customary to film production. The project will also renovate existing buildings, including the Mira office building, and will support publicly accessible space. It proposes the extension of the existing master trail for walking and biking and will maintain the existing master trail along the northern property edge that crosses through the site. The applicant, Netflix, Inc., is also the lead development entity on the project. Netflix has engaged a real estate development team as an external consultant to assist with overseeing construction of the project. To size the award, we took a few steps. So first, we subject the project to a net benefit test. Since Netflix received a film studio designation, they're receiving a discount on the net benefit test based on their estimated $620 million annual production spend. We engaged the EDA's film consultant on the evaluation of Netflix's economic impact assumptions for construction and operation, and it was concluded that the inputs for occupancy, average production wages and costs, management jobs, property taxes, and facility sizes were overall reasonable and accurate. Secondly, we reviewed the project's rate of return. This is EDA's first owner-occupied project, and the program's financing gap analysis is based on a financing of real estate development with costs and revenues from a developer-landlord's perspective. We analyzed a hypothetical financing model that assumes a typical developer arrangement with a commercial tenant to determine if there is a financing gap, and we used the hurdle rate provided by JLL of 17.7% that's based on capital market pricing and is proportionate to the development of similar risk level. In the memo, we included two separate charts that include the IRR with and without the tax credit incentive, one for JLL's assumptions and one for Netflix's assumptions. JLL used some assumptions, specifically development costs and personnel compensation costs, that are more conservative than what Netflix used. And even with JLL's assumptions, the developer's project returns with the benefit of Aspire still is lower than the hurdle rate of 17.7, and thus the tax credits are not over within the project. We recognize that this is a unique project, and so I just wanted to remind the board that the program does have accountability measures in place, such as project cost certification. There would be a recalculation of the net benefits if the project costs are lower than 90% of what the board approves. There is an IRR check in year 7, and if the return of investment exceeds the hurdle rate by 15%, then we would activate a profit sharing. Additionally, Netflix would forfeit the annual tax credits if they do not meet the annual spend that they are committing to, and there's like a 60% threshold that they would have to meet. The total development budget is $1.25 billion, and we excluded costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules, including land costs, and costs that were incurred prior to application, which brings the total eligible project cost to about $1.1 billion. The developer must contribute at least 20% equity, and in this case, that's $241 million. And Netflix is funding the entire development with cash, so they are satisfying the equity requirements. Lastly, we subject the applicant's request to the program's award caps,
and the program is eligible to receive up to 50% of total eligible costs, or $400 million, whichever is less. And based off all of those factors, that is how we arrived at the $387 million Aspire Award. Happy to take any questions.
Just to editorialize before we say, sorry, an extraordinary kind of inflection point moment, not just for Monmouth County, but for the state, as it relates to the film industry and the rebirth, the continued rebirth. This is not the only thing good happening at Fort Monmouth. There's a lot of good things happening at Fort Monmouth, but this is the clarion call, quote, the still president VFD project that we've all kind of been waiting for. So it's an extraordinary amount of work. I'll say some thank yous, assuming you vote. I hope you will. I don't want to spike the football on the 1 yard line here. But it's just an extraordinary, extraordinary project.
Finley, I follow with that. I think I've mentioned to many that I was involved early on when BRAC first closed Fort Monmouth, and I was vice chair of the Fort Monmouth Redevelopment Authority. And this was a dream to have something like this. And I'm really, really pleased to see where we've come, and certainly I am thrilled to see this project go forth. It's great for the community, and it's CEO Tim Sullivan mentioned this is fabulous for the state and really for the region. It's wonderful.
I was going to ask, reading the notes in May, we reevaluated or reassessed how we evaluate a studio partner, right? Because we didn't want to have the double counting issue.
Correct.
So we've taken that into account in our calculations here, right?
Yeah, so I think the typical threshold is like 160%, which here with this project we're using 125% for the net benefit calculation.
But I think what the chairman is referring to is the haircut we put on the film tax credit benefit.
40%, yes.
It's a reduction of the net benefit.
So you're not double dipping in effect.
We're reducing
the 40% tax credit. We haircut the net benefit by 40%. Still gets over the 125, which is statutory former state-owned. Former federally owned installations.
And I think it was in the news recently that the municipalities have all now approved this. Is that right?
I think they approved the first phase.
Phase 1A, Will, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both Eatontown and Oceanport.
They're all doing the happy dance.
Not without some rock of soccer.
Yeah, a little shuffle.
Exactly. When do we actually think shovels go in the ground?
The hope is to close, I was going to say later this year, but still this year, into the third quarter of 25 is when they'll hope to close on that piece of property. But I think you can see some demolition. Looking at we've got witnesses on the stand. We can call if we need to, but as soon as possible, we can start getting some demolition going. Some of that will be done by the state to get some of the buildings. There's a ton of facilities on the structure that need going. Some get saved, but most have to go. So that will start in earnest next year.
Any other questions? Comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
I'm happy to move that.
I'm glad you are. It's appropriate. Second?
Second.
Thanks, Charles. Any further discussions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear hearing none? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I also need to refuse myself.
And I assume it's because of the construction, potential participation.
100%, yes. We're doing the full outbeat supply of manpower for the project, so I have to refuse myself. But it's going to change Monmouth County and the state of New Jersey for many years, so it's a great project.
Great. Recusals noted. The motion passes. Good luck.
Yeah. 387 million. I'll take one more minute to just thank you, starting with the Governor and First Lady, who lived and died by this project and been existential to bringing it forward. Our team internally, the Aspire team, so George, Dan, Mary, Annie, Dave Floyer, Lori, Bruce, lots of other folks that I probably shouldn't name so many names, but lots of people out, but an extraordinary cast of characters inside the EDA working on this. Kara Kopak and her team at the Fort are second to none. If you need anything done right, call Kara. And then we've had extraordinary partnership and collaboration. You mentioned the municipalities, Mayor Tverdick in Oceanport, Mayor Tallarico in Eatontown, Tom Arnone and the county team have been great, and then both Senators Vinco Powell and Declan O'Scanlan, both sides of the aisle, both parts of the district, have been great partners and champions. And that's how you get big things done. This is about as big as it gets, and you get big things done in partnership and collaboration and with a lot of things. We know Netflix is doing all the right things around labor that we would hope to see them do, and so this is just a win-win-win all around. I would give a shout-out to the Netflix team. Will Casper is here. If you want to know what happens in season three of The Diplomat, you talk to Will. if you want to know where Will works, talk to Billy. But with that, deeply appreciate Netflix's investment and commitment to Jersey, and let's screw it up.
How many jobs will this create?
Projection is thousands.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, full-time equivalent's over 2,000.
Over 2,000. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Great. Okay. Let's move on. Next, another Deirdre, our last Aspire consideration for the morning.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. We are requesting approval to award up to $22,769,231 in Aspire tax credits for 100% affordable project in Trenton, New Jersey, located at 801-833 Brunswick Avenue, constructed in 1971. The applicant plans to redevelop the current 110 rental units consisting of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments, which will be affordable at or below 60% of area median income. Of these units, 6 will be ADA compliant. The apartments are distributed across 8 3-story buildings, and the site will offer 109 parking spaces, 4 of which are designated ADA accessible. The applicant entity, OAHS Brunswick TC LLC, is owned by OAHS Brunswick TC MM LLC, an entity owned by the lead development entity, OAHS Affordable Housing Solutions LLC, and will revert to a 0.1% general partner and managing member after the investing financial closing. The co-applicant for the project is FFAH6, NJ Res Services LLC, the provider, and a civil purpose entity owned by Foundation for Affordable Housing 6, Inc., a 501c3 entity, DBA Embrace Foundation, also known as Embrace. The applicant and co-applicant have executed a participation agreement outlining the co-applicant's role in the deal, which aligns with all Aspire rules. The total development budget is $51,911,042. After exclusions, eligible costs are $44,570,187. The developer has contributed above 10% equity because this is a GRM and 10% is required, and that would be about $5,100,000. They've contributed more than $16 million. And this meets Aspire and HMFA requirements as well for green buildings, et cetera. The work on the units will commence in March of 2025 and conclude within 9 months of that start date. And with that, I think I'm at 2 minutes, and we recommend an Aspire award of up to $22,769,231 for board approval, which represents approximately 51.09% of the 80% they are eligible for. Happy to take any questions at this time.
Questions, comments, in the room or on the phone? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Elizabeth. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
Aspire does a lot of big film studios, does affordable housing as well.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Contains multitudes, as they say.
Hundreds of millions, 20 million.
Yep.
Yep. We should, you know, I know we do this from time to time, but summarize, I guess it's on our thing to date, how many projects have we done, how much we awarded. Yeah. I know it's on our...
We looked that up on the transition.
While we're waiting for that, Chris Del Vecchio.
Now at $2.5
billion.
Great.
Wow. All right, digital media tax credit, Chris.
Thanks, Chairman. Under the digital media tax credit, NFL Productions LLC submitted an application for their 2024 digital media expenses, producing content for NFL films out of their facility in Mount Laurel. The expenses include post-production work on shows such as Hard Knocks, Good Morning Football, inside the NFL, and more. The company has been headquartered in Mount Laurel since 1975 and currently has over 200 full-time jobs and brings in an additional 200-plus part-time jobs during the football season. As part of the eligibility for credits under the program, a production must meet two expense eligibility thresholds, the first being 50% of the applicant's qualified digital media expenses must be for wages and salaries paid to full-time W-2 employees in New Jersey, and second, the applicant must incur at least $2 million in qualified digital media production expenses through vendors authorized to do business in New Jersey. This project does meet both eligibility requirements, with 78% of its total spend incurred for wages and salaries paid to New Jersey workers, and clearing the $2 million threshold with over $37 million in qualified spend. This project includes a 4% diversity bonus worth $1,497,394 for a total award of $12,727,850. We do have a current tax clearance certificate for the applicant. Sister agency checks are complete and clear. We've received a taxation acknowledgement letter. The legal review is also complete, and they are clear. Happy to answer any questions, comments, or concerns.
So we've approved the
number. Yeah, we had a batch of them earlier in the year. I don't remember exactly when they were. They were sort of catch-up awards from prior years,
yes.
And this is the current year. Sorry.
Any comments, questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? And hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Robert Shipka.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? And hearing none, credits are approved. Thank you. Next, Heather on Patterson-Urg.
Hello. As a brief reminder, the Economic Redevelopment and Growth Program was a tax incentive program to entice developers to make capital investment in New Jersey. The goal of the program was to make projects that had the low market rate of return more financially feasible. Within the legislation that created the IRC program, a carve-out was provided for the redevelopment of mixed-use parking projects. In December 2018, the members of the EDA board approved the $30.5 million tax incentive to Patterson Parking Authority to support its mixed-use parking project located at 169 Ward Street in the city of Patterson. The project consisted of the demolition of an existing parking garage and construction of a nine-story, 946 parking structure with 2,500 square feet of street-level retail space. As detailed in the board memo, EDA staff under delegated authority and the members of the EDA board approved several requests to extend approval of expiration dates and additional modifications to the Patterson project. Legislation was recently enacted in September of 2024, amending the 2022 legislation that allows the authority to modify the terms of the IRG award approval to include an increase in the award amount through the inclusion of funding of a debt service reserve fund, which was previously excluded as an eligible project cost. This amendment also allows for the extension of the requirement for submission of a temporary certificate of occupancy from June 30, 2026 to June 30, 2028. Today, PPA is requesting an increase to the IRG award amount not to exceed $45.3 million from the $40 million award that was approved in April of this year. An extension of the requirement for submission of a temporary certificate of occupancy from June 30th, 2026 to June 30th, 2028, and an extension of PPA's conditions to maintain approval from November 30th, 2024 to December 31st, 2025, all due to the change in legislation. A review of the documentation was satisfactory to verify the applicant's ability to access the funds needed to complete the project, including the required 20% equity contribution for mixed-use parking IRG projects, and the satisfaction of the funding gap measured by the internal rate of return. The PPA modification application has been reviewed and is consistent with eligibility requirements under the Act, so it is recommended that the members approve the requested modification. You predicted I would be here, yes.
That's true.
That is perfect.
program has been amended probably more than anything since
Reached their maximum allocation amount. So.
For now, unless they've been long. As written, yes, agreed.
And this is the applicant is the Parking Authority of Patterson.
That's correct, which is an achievement talent in the city, but it's not directly the city.
And I noted in the memo that even with the IRR, the IRR is 2.6%.
Yeah, I mean, they run parking as a public purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
IRR and municipal parking are kind of an odd forced marriage. It works, but it's just, returns is not
the way to measure.
Yeah.
Any questions, comments?
I do have a question. With the change in legislation, are there going to be other applicants that are going to be coming back for more monies?
So there's still one looming application under this program, which is the visitor center in the Great Falls Visitor Center, which is going to need both this program and CAFE eventually, although there's some complications there. I don't think there's any likely to come back because both of them are completed their projects. So there's, Lori, you agree with me? I think this should be it.
And they only apply to the city of Patterson, correct?
This is only within the great city of Patterson, that's correct.
Okay, any further comments or questions?
Chairman, just one question. So it seems like this has been a lot of start stops through no fault of really anybody with COVID and everything. I think I read in here construction is supposed to start March 2025. I mean, are they ready to go? They got construction drawings because I'm trying to match that up with the conditions of approval that talk about like all permits in place, all approvals related to that. So they have all their approvals, construction drawings. I mean, March 2025 is around the corner.
Yeah.
They got to go out for public bid. So I'm just kind of
right. They're waiting for they're waiting for our approval to finish their bond funding, but they gave us a construction schedule. They have all of their funding in place, so they are ready to go.
So we're pretty confident.
Yes.
That means that we've thought that before. your question is abundantly fair.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments, questions? Anyone on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second, Joy.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Good. Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, authority matters. Emma.
Good morning. Okay, as part of the New Jersey Fiscal Year 2024 Appropriations Act, the EDA received $100,000 from the Focus New Jersey Center for Economic Research and Workforce Solutions. Focus is an independent 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization dedicated to delivering comprehensive economic and workforce analysis and support policy development and decision making in New Jersey. The appropriation aims to provide Focus New Jersey with the funds necessary to procure a third-party consultant to conduct a study on the impact of COVID-19 and the New Jersey economy, specifically focusing on economic migration, commuter flows, and the impact on downtown, interstate tax revenues, and the impact of remote work and employment on the statewide GDP. In addition to those items, the NJEA has requested through the grant agreement that the study also focus on the economic impact of COVID on small businesses and diverse communities, provide a comprehensive overview of American Rescue Plan programs brought forward by the Murphy administration in response to COVID-19, and provide forward-looking recommendations for policymakers on programs and initiatives that continue to mitigate the economic impact of COVID and future pandemics. Upon transfer of funds, focus or release a request for proposal to solicit a third-party entity to conduct the study. So to transfer funding from EDA to Focus, the board is asked to approve a grant agreement between the two entities to transfer $95,000 to Focus to pay for the study, and then the EDA will accept, if you folks approve, a one-time administrative fee of 5%, which is $5,000.
This was allocated in the 2024 appropriations act.
Fiscal 24.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments?
I'm going to abstain the promoters, funders, and leadership of the group. So to me in federal court, if I wasn't abstaining, I'd be voting against it because all they do is spend their time bashing New Jersey. And they haven't done anything on their website since August 23rd. So I don't know why we're supporting this organization.
Noted. Anyone else? Further comments, questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Commissioner, you got to set us up.
It's an appropriation. You've got to vote for it.
Yes.
Okay, I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all those, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Rob, are you opposing or recusing?
I'm recusing.
Recusing, okay. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions other than Rob? Hearing none, the motion passes. Morris, on the budget, I would note that Morris presented to me and then presented to the audit committee, so we've had a significant review of the budget.
For years. Okay. Thank you very much. So, good morning. Nice to be here. And I'm pleased to present 2025 NJDBA 2025 business plan. The plan is a result of a collaborative effort between the fiscal office and the operating division, division chiefs, and teams over the course of the last few months, and it builds on the work that we've been doing on our long-range planning for the authority. The plan reflects our assumptions regarding state and federal appropriations that will be received by the authority in 25, as well as the revenues and expenses for our ongoing operations as well as new projects. The plan reflects, as you'll see, a projection of about $3 million net earnings on revenues of about $86 million. Important to note that this is on an internal reporting basis, not external GAAP reporting. The audit committee, as Terry mentioned, had reviewed and discussed this plan in the December 2nd meeting and recommended that we bring it to the full board for approval as we're doing today. As the accounting and finance office has done over the last few years, we'll continue to keep the board updated on our progress versus the plan over the course of the year. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Marcia. A couple editorial comments. One, it's a really good and balanced plan. Obviously, our objective here isn't to make money, but we got to cover our costs, and we got to have, you know, a little bit of excess revenue to cover surprises. We have a good and diversified stream of revenues, both for our application fees, our bond issuances, our interest on loans, all that. Plus, we also, when we receive appropriations, you know, get administrative fees to pay us for our work. Two factors that are driving sort of a declining revenue framework. One, every time the Fed lowers interest rates, that impacts our ability to earn interest on our idle cash. They just lowered again yesterday, although next year is going to be less lowering than we maybe thought, so that's not a bad thing for our purposes here. And then, you know, see what happens with the federal, with the state fiscal plan. But both the federal appropriations are mostly have run their course, and we'll have a year or two more to administer those things, but not a lot of new money coming in from the feds. Unless something very surprising happens, you never know. And then also state appropriations are sort of continuing, expected to be decreasing over the years, as a lot of our emergency programs and sort of one-time initiatives wane. So even with that, we're still, you know, managing headcount, managing our expenses, doing all the things I think you'd expect us to do, which is be prudent, and match our revenues and expenses, which is what we've brought for you.
No, I was going to say the same thing, that when we discussed it, Mike, I was sort of pressure testing you a little bit on our assumptions about federal money programs, you know, even as you said, state allocations, because those, based on certainly what we seem to be hearing, are all likely to be under pressure. And, you know, the good news is our model is quite strong. 10 years from now, you know, the world will be a different place. But certainly with respect to next fiscal year, I think it's a very sound budget.
And I think, Chair, it's important that pretty well known that in committee, so much of this discussion is much more thorough. So people recognize that we really take the time, and you do, more importantly, in keeping us informed. And I feel like we're in very solid fiscal hands here. So thank you for that.
Any further comments, questions? So I think it's a motion to approve adoption of the fiscal plan?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'd like, yes.
Can I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the plan is adopted. Thank you, Morris. Monica, on proposed amendments to the authority's disqualification and debarment rules.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. I'm pleased to be here this morning to present the proposed amendments to the EDA's existing disqualification and debarment rules for board approval. The authority's existing disqualification and debarment rules were promulgated in accordance with Executive Order 34 and Executive Order 189.
The rules were last updated in 2010. The proposed rule amendments related to disqualification update the rules consistent with current authority policies and procedures. The new draft rule provisions related to suspension are proposed to codify the authority's current suspension procedure in accordance with the executive orders. Some of the relevant proposed amendments related to disqualification and debarment include defining or clarifying certain terms, codifying other potential grounds for debarment or disqualification, clarifying language related to the conditions required to establish a cause of action, and the process for debarment or disqualification consistent with current authority policies and procedures. The bulk of the changes to the rules relate to the proposed new suspension provisions. These provisions codify the authority's current policies and procedures related to suspension. Proposed amendments related to suspension include codifying the conditions the authority must meet to suspend an applicant, consistent with the executive orders, as well as the procedural steps the authority shall take when suspending an applicant or contractor. Draft rule amendments were posted on the authority's website for EO 63. Informal public comment and a media advisory was released. No comments were received. If approved, the amendments will be published in the New Jersey Register for formal public comment. Members are requested to approve the proposed amendments and authorize staff to submit for publication in the New Jersey Register and submit as final adopted rules for publication in the New Jersey Register if no substantive comments are received, subject to final review and approval by the Office of the Attorney General and the Office of Administrative Law. Happy to take any questions.
So again, just to be clear, if we approve today, these are posted in the Register, the public has an opportunity to comment. If they comment, we then reconsider.
Correct. If they don't, then the authority to make them final.
Make them final.
There are no specific actions other than approving these rules. There's no specific actions to act under these suspension rules contemplated today. And if there are,
yes,
then we'll certainly have them.
But it's not implemented until after the 30 days that
it's public. These ones don't take effect. It will be this late spring,
yeah,
in the earliest, if there's a public comment period.
Okay.
So the rules don't. This embodies case law that gives the state the authority to do this. So this is mostly process. ED and other agencies have been able to act under that case law. But the specific rules and procedure wouldn't go into effect until after the public comment period.
And then if we have any specific actions, that's a whole other discussion with the public.
Yes.
Facts.
This is just
fact specific.
This is just policy.
This is just policy.
Any further questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve adoption? We'll consider both a proposal and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion finally. Fred.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, board members. So just a couple of quick comments. As you saw in your package today, there's a request to change the designation of our ELO. In September of 2024, just recently, we typically asked for that designation along with some other duties and responsibilities within EDA. My name was in there again for readoption of serving that role. We're now asking, because it's in that annual board memo, we're asking to change that designation to Allison Jones, who's our managing director of legal and regulatory compliance. And as part of that reorg, I just wanted to say, a couple notes. Tim, I'll be less than 15 minutes, I promise.
You're taking up with that, but if you screw up,
So I've been in this role. I've actually had the pleasure of serving EDA for 30 years.
Wow. In
this state. Just recently, I hit that milestone. It feels like just yesterday. But as the chairman's memo outlines, from time to time we realign our functions internally to best meet the business needs and obviously focus on different areas. I'll continue to report to Mary in her new role as Deputy Chief CEO, Chief Executive Officer, rather. We reviewed some of our administrative functions with our colleagues, and we thought that it made sense to transition the ethics function to legal and compliance at this time for a few reasons. One, it allows me to focus on our core administrative service areas, those being accounting and finance, HR, and other business services, including procurement. And for those of you in state government who know about procurement, it's not for the faint of heart. Allison's got some great experience serving as the in an ethics advisory capacity with New Jersey judiciary and for a number of years on that as well. There's lots of efficiencies also and really better alignment in shifting this role to a more compliance-focused group. We often work closely with our legal team to conduct various investigations and assist in crafting or updating policy. So I've enjoyed working with our staff, our management, and you, our board, hopefully providing reliable ethics information and guidance over the years, and working with the State Ethics Commission colleagues as well. They're a great team. I know you'll continue to receive great counsel from Allison and her team, and we've already started kind of working together to ensure a smooth transition. So, with that.
Thank you. So we are voting on the board is approving the change in designation. Is that right? Okay, can I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move that.
Second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor, I'm not going to ask for any discussion.
That's great, I can vouch for it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none. And Fred, thank you for your service. I've certainly it's been a pleasure working with you in that capacity. Thank you.
And we've not done yet. Just panic that part of the
yes.
Fred world. Fred world remains existential.
Tim, we'll let him go.
Tim, board memorandum.
Yeah, I'll be brief. Well done. Emma was very effective. Every doubt Emma's power around this organization, she kicked everybody's butt and advanced to be efficient, and here we are. One of the things that's in the Economic Recovery Act is an important kind of compliance and good government feature of that. It's a requirement that I think it's every year, excuse me, every other year, we contract with a state university to do a program evaluation of all the major programs in the ERA. That includes Aspire, Emerge, the Brownfields program. Eventually, when we have projects, it'll include other ones, but those are the three in particular. NGIT has been our partner or entered into an MOU with us to do this work. There's a report included in your pack. It's not a voting item. It sort of provides commentary and a summary of their findings. I would say overall it's quite good. Make some recommendations on ways we can improve, particularly the customer experience, the applicant experience. That's the balance sheet, making sure we're doing the right things on the compliance side. And we're not here to make things too smooth, as it were, but the report is in general quite good. This will be forwarded. We discussed this at audit committee as well. This will be forwarded to the governor and speaker and senate president, I believe,
yes.
Forthcoming from this meeting. But that's in your packet. It's a long read, so I won't go through it in great detail. But it's overall quite positive. It speaks well to the team and the leadership the board provides to do these things the right way, even if they sometimes take a little longer than everyone would love to see. So, with that, happy to take any questions on that.
To the floor. It was interesting to your comment received on the phone this morning about customer service from one of
yes, it's a balance.
It's a balance.
A, you can never get it right, and if we're going to make a mistake, it's going to be on the side of compliance.
Anything else? Anyone else have any items to bring before the board? I just want to, again, personally, as I said at the beginning, thank the board and the staff for a fantastic year. We've accomplished a lot. Netflix, obviously, a big great way to have a capstone, mm-hmm. capstone to a great career as a board member for Ginny. And it's been a pleasure, again, serving as your board chair. And I want to wish everyone a very happy holiday season and best wishes for a new year. So with that, can I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll move it. Or a second. Whatever.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Have a great holiday, everyone.
Conclu-
Bill. Thank you.
And Jewel, we may.